Backseat Box Office, episode number 171, for the weekend of December 27th through December 29th, 2013.
Hey, this is Lena.
Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. Happy day or two or three after Christmas, everybody. Hello, boys.
What's up, guys?
Hello. How were your guys' holidays?
It was lovely.
It was over too quick. Don't blink.
Always.
Because you'll miss it.
No, don't blink. Yeah. This damn Doctor Who last night with the brief weeping angels, but still, they freaked me out. It was the last Matt Smith Doctor Who.
And I watched a Doctor Who episode today, just because it was on. And Brittany came and sat down next to me and said, "What's this?" And I said, "It's Doctor Who." She watched it for about 5 minutes and said, "You know, with as much as everybody I know talks about this," she says, "I thought it was a more serious show." I said, no, it's very cheesy, very British." And she walked out of the room, never to return.
Okay. Was it a Matt Smith Doctor Who? Or?
No, it was David Tennant.
I do love him, but I do. Matt Smith is my favorite Doctor. David Tennant, right up against him. Yummy. But still, Matt Smith. So watching the last episode of his last night, a little sad. And I'm not sure when I'm going to be able to accept Peter Capaldi as the new Doctor. It's going to be a while. If I accept him at all. Just saying. Movies. The reason we're here.
Yes.
Why don't I tell everybody how the movies did over the weekend? We had The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, held at number one, grossing $31.5 million. Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues, opened at number two with $27.8 million. Frozen fell to number three with $19.6 million. American Hustle rose from 15 to 4, grossing $19.1 million. Saving Mr. Banks rose from 18 to 5, grossing $9.3 million. We had The Hunger Games at number six, Tyler Perry's A Medea Christmas at 7, and we need to go as far down as Walking with Dinosaurs at number 8 as we stroll on into the movie pickinses. We did not have a 25. We had two people with a high score of 21. That would be Father Beast and myself. So yay us. But in a little while, you will hear me grossly complain about the fact that I have the high score. Because that means I have to make movie picks first, and I am not happy about that. But anywho, my 21 came about. I got The Hobbit 2 and Anchorman 2 correct. I had American Hustle in third and Saving Mr. Banks fourth. That was a little flip-flop. No, it wasn't. Never mind. Each one was one off. And I had Frozen at number five. Father Beast also had The Hobbit 2 and Anchorman 2 correct. He then had Saving Mr. Banks, Frozen, and American Hustle rounding up his picks. Next up, we had a small handful of people with 20 points. First, Kugron. He had Anchorman 2 in first and The Hobbit 2 in second. American Hustle in third, Frozen in fourth, and Saving Mr. Banks, he had correct in fifth. BD and Art had the same picks, also with 20 points. So, Art, tell everybody what you did.
I went with The Hobbit in first, Anchorman in second, American Hustle in third, Frozen in fourth, and Walking with Dinosaurs in fifth.
Yeah. Next up with 17 points, we had Jeff.
All right. So let's just say that I lost points on every movie I picked, including I had Walking with Dinosaurs. Came in at eighth. I had it at fifth. So me getting all these movies wrong gave me a 17, so I'm not going to go into the tawdry details.
He's just going to turn his head and walk away and pretend it never happened.
Yes, I've already started.
Next up with 14 points, Nick has a voicemail, so let's give a listen to that.
Hey, gang. As I was just telling Arts, I think this is the toughest week for movie picks ever. I'm going to go ahead and go with Anchorman 2 as number one. That being because it was the most promoted movie of all time in the history of promoting movies. So I just got to go with it as being number one. Two, The Hobbit. Three, I am going with Walking with Dinosaurs. Four, American Hustle. And five, Frozen. We'll see what happens. I think it's just a crapshoot this weekend. It's just tough. I mean, you still got Hunger Games in there. You still got Madea. And American Hustle is getting rave reviews, but it's just, I think they picked the wrong week to open. But should be interesting. All right, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nick. And rounding things up, Mrs. Beast also had 14 points, a little different way. She had Anchorman 2 in first, American Hustle in second, Saving Mr. Banks third, The Hobbit in fourth, and Frozen in fifth. Each of those was off at least 2 points. And onto the leaderboard. Kugron is holding in number one with 21.8 points. BD is in second with 21.3 points. Jeff is in third, 21.1 points. Art is in fourth with 20.6. I am in fifth with 20.3. Nick is in sixth with 19.7. Father Beast in seventh with 18.5. And Mrs. Beast is in eighth place with 18.1. And when we do get into the movie pickings, this will be the last set of picks for this current season. Remember, we are now doing them quarterly. So this will be the last weekend of the year and the last set of picks for this particular season. And with the scores being as close as they are, number one spot is still up for grabs. It is not the usual BD has his claws stuck into it, and barring a nuclear catastrophe, nobody is taking it away from him. There actually is wiggle room, depending on how people pick this coming weekend. And that is it for the results portion of our show.
Artos?
Oh, shit. Do you know how much I hate you?
No, but I'm sure you're about to tell me.
Would you like me to, like, type up an outline and send it to you? And then we could...
Oh, I hate you more!
I'm just asking. You can say no.
I'm going to say more than no.
Yes, all the Christmas spirit is overwhelming.
But I'm a lady. Fuck. So, okay, we had BD had the high pick with her. That averaged $43,397. Next, Jeff had Doom 3, averaging $14,320. Next is me. I picked Maiden Trip. That averaged $1,622. Art had The Selfish Giant, averaging $863. And Father Beast picked Wild Salome. Is that how you pronounce it?
Salome.
Anywho, it did not report any numbers at all. So with BD getting that 1 point this week, we actually have myself, Jeff, Art, and BD all with 5 points. And Father Beast with 3. So... who knows what's going to happen this coming weekend?
Also. Okay, when you sent me the tweet about Doom 3 breaking the record for the highest grossing Bollywood movie ever, I was feeling pretty good.
And then...
it still did nothing compared to her, which is what I wanted to pick last week. But I decided to make it interesting, because I thought Art was going to pick her. And I, you know, and I'm sure it's a snore fest when we all pick the same Arts House movie. So, yeah, okay.
You gotta stop trying to zig when you think I'm gonna zag. It's just not working out for you. And...
Almost did. All right, so it comes to my favorite and Art's favorite part of this show. And
Lena's
favorite part is Lena gets to pick first. So go ahead, Lena.
No, you have to talk about the movie first!
We need to talk about the movie first. Okay, so now
what
I need
a bummer.
Both of you an outline on how we do the show.
It's the end of the year. We're delirious.
All right. So since we're supposed to be sticking to some kind of order here, let's talk about the movies coming out wide release this week. And first we'll start with The Wolf of Wall Street, which right now is at 76% on the tomato meter. Out of 142 reviews, we have 108 fresh and 34 rotten. Out of the Rotten Tomatoes audience, 80% liked it, with an average rating of 4 out of 5, and that was 47,288 people. So here's the description. Martin Scorsese directs the story of New York stockbroker Jordan Belfort. From the American dream to corporate greed, Belfort goes from penny stocks and righteousness to IPOs and a life of corruption in the late 80s. Excess success and affluence in his early 20s as founder of the brokerage firm Stratton Oakmont warranted Belfort the title The Wolf of Wall Street. Rated R, 2 hours and 59 minutes, directed by Martin Scorsese, written by Jordan Belfort and Terrence Winter. Also starring Jonah Hill, Matthew McConaughey, Rob Reiner, Kyle Chandler, Jon Favreau, Jon Bernthal, if he was in Walking Dead. That's the only thing I've seen him in. Jean Dujardin, and a bunch of other people I've never heard of.
Hey, wasn't he in The Artist?
Dujardin? Yeah, I think so.
Ooh, look at me remembering shit. All right, Lena.
So you remember that, but you forgot the outline. Okay.
You really? You gotta go there?
Why not? It's not a long drive.
I now know where you live. Keep that in mind.
All right, well. Oh, Justin Long is also job applicant number 2, so. Good for a day's in there. All right.
There are a lot of named people on this list. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
So, you know, this might be wait for a rental. I don't know. Even though Deuce would probably kill me right now, but.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, 47 Ronin. 11% rotten on the tomato meter. 38 reviews, 4 fresh, 34 rotten. 66% want to see it out of 28,672 user ratings. From ancient Japan's most enduring tale, the epic 3D fantasy adventure 47 Ronin is born. Keanu Reeves leads this cast as Kai, an outcast who joins Oishi, Hiroki Sanada, the leader of the 47 outcast samurai. Together they seek vengeance upon the treacherous overlord who killed their master and banished their kind. To restore honor to their homeland, the warriors embark upon a quest that challenges them with a series of trials that would destroy ordinary warriors. 47 Ronin is helmed by visionary director Carl Eric Rinch, The Gift, inspired by styles as diverse as Miyazaki and Hokusai. Rinch will bring to life the stunning landscapes and enormous battles that would display the timeless Ronin story to global audience in a way that's never been seen before. PG-13, 2 hours and 7 minutes, directed by Carl Rinch, starring, wow, okay.
Go ahead, pronounce one of these co-stars.
Well, I can pronounce them, I just don't know any of them.
Did
you see Lost?
No, never watched Lost.
Did you see The Last Samurai?
I did see The Last Samurai.
Okay, Hiroyuki Sanada is in The Last Samurai.
Yeah.
And I think, looking at these pictures, this guy looks slightly familiar.
There's one you should know, Kerry...
Kerry Tagawa.
That's yeah. The one I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Balls of Fury.
Oh, Long Duk Dong's in this one.
Yeah, I know.
True player.
I thought it at the bottom as well. I'm like, oh.
Getty one tonight.
If we go to his IMDb, and if that's not the first movie for what he's known for, there's something wrong.
Well,
that's how I know.
You know what? I don't know. Hold on. But they don't put it as far as like what he's most known for. They put it in, don't they?
There's a list on IMDb that's like and it lists 4 or 5 movies right at the top.
No, it always lists Gung Ho first.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why, but it always lists Gung Ho first. Although, you know, no Yankee My Way. That's I want that. I want that on my tombstone. Because I'm a 12-year-old boy.
All right, so let's go to the third movie that's coming at wide release, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. This is 47% on the tomato meter. Out of 131 reviews, it's 61 fresh and 70% rotten. Ben Stiller directs and stars in The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, James Thurber's classic story of a daydreamer who escapes his anonymous life by disappearing into a world of fantasies filled with heroism, romance, and action. When his job, along with that of his co-worker, Kristen Wiig, are threatened, Walter takes action in the real world, embarking on a global journey that turns into an adventure more extraordinary than anything he could have ever imagined. Rated PG, 2 hours and 5 minutes, directed by Mr. Ben Stiller, written by Steve Conrad. Also starring Patton Oswalt, Shirley MacLaine, Adam Scott, Sean Penn is in this. I don't know. Are we interested in seeing this in the theater?
I don't see it in the theater, but...
My friend saw it. She said it was good. She was surprised by how good it was.
I think it does look interesting.
Well, she was... I think... I'm trying to see if there was someone she was surprised... Oh, yeah. Patton Oswalt. Not surprised at him, but she didn't know he was in it. And... I had said when I saw the movie Young Adults with Charlize Theron, I was surprised at how talented, other than a comedian, because I really only know him as a comedian, how talented Patton Oswalt is. He did a fantastic job with his character. So I actually wouldn't mind seeing this. Don't know if I'll get to, but...
I would have to say that my favorite... movie performance of Patton Oswalt was Big Fan.
Haven't seen it yet.
It's a dark comedy.
I've been told by many people to see it.
Yeah, it's. I told a friend of mine to see it, and he watched it, and he says, "Why are you dead inside?" Because he said it was a very depressing movie for him, but I thought it was great. So, anyways, there's that.
Yeah.
So, Art, why don't you tell us about Grudge Match?
Grudge Match. 20% rotten on the tomato meter. 69 reviews, 14 fresh, 55 rotten. 68% want to see it out of 15,866 reviewers. Robert De Niro and Sylvester Stallone star as old boxing rivals who come out of retirement for one final match. On their first encounter in decade, their long festering feud erupts into an unintentionally hilarious melee that instantly goes viral. The sudden social media frenzy transforms their local grudge match into a must-see HBO event. Now, if they can just survive the training, they may actually live to fight again. Rated PG-13, 1 hour and 53 minutes, directed by Peter Segal, starring Kim Basinger, Alan Arkin, Rich Little, still alive? What?
Really?
Apparently.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh, now you'll look him up.
Anthony Anderson.
He's 75 years old.
Wow.
And got married last year, apparently.
Good for him.
Wow. Yeah.
LL Cool J. What is up with this week and the list of actors? I mean, usually it's like a half dozen. This week there's been three movies where it's like 50 people got listed.
Well, it doesn't mean that they're anyone.
No, I don't. Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield.
Yeah, a fair number of these are actually cameos.
People
are playing themselves. I do had a chuckle a little bit at Anthony Anderson's character name, Mr. Sandpaper Hands.
There's someone named Jabby the Puppet.
But it's like, you know, it was the holiday, so the people doing the Rotten Tomatoes had more time to just, you know, stick a bunch of links in these write-ups.
Yeah, Roy Jones Jr.
Sam Hoger Jr., puking boxer. It's...
Okay, so...
Well, just really quick mention, you know... Justin Bieber's Believe coming out, 1,000 screens. We're going to do a reverse thing. If you put Justin Bieber's on your list, we will take it off for you. and we'll just put something else on the bottom for you. I don't think that's going to happen, but just in case.
I'm okay with that.
Friends don't let friends pick Bieber.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
And if you pick Bieber, you're not our friend. I must draw the line somewhere.
Okay, and though that is all the movies coming out in wide release. So, Art, what do we do now?
We talk about news.
Do we?
We do.
Really?
No, we make picks. I had to mess it up. Come on.
All right, I had to go three for three.
All
right, Art, team player. Team player Art. Okay, that's fine.
You know what? You know what, Art, you know what that means? It means you love me and you have my back because I'm dreading this.
I know.
Even though it's the last week and I'm not going anywhere and I'm in fifth and that's lovely, I really hate the fact that I may very well end up on the bottom after this.
Oh, this is going to be bad. This is going to be a bloodbath.
It's like it doesn't even matter what I pick.
No good will come with it. Actually, you know what? No. My computer's about to die. I'm gonna fall off, and I'm not gonna make any picks. goodbye. You're breaking up.
All right, people. Here we go. I am picking. Oh Lord. Picking The Wolf of Wall Street first. Hobbit 2 second. Walter Mitty 3rd. And I hate this. Anchorman 2 fourth and 47 Ronin fifth. I wanted to put 47 Ronin fourth, but the more I kept reading and looking, the sadder it was getting to me. Because I want to see 47 Ronin, which is why I want it to be better than fifth. But that is where I leave it. My indie pick is the only one I have some kind of faith in, and I could even be wrong with that. I am picking August Osage County.
Okay. Wow, that was painful.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
All right, you're next.
I am next. I will say that we have all the same movies on our list, so that's good.
Totally different places.
Yeah. As much as it kills me, I'm going to keep The Hobbit at number one. It's probably going to bite me in the butt, but I'm going to put it there, mostly based on the Wednesday estimates. We'll see what happens.
I went back and forth with that a lot.
I did. And so, yeah. And then I went with Wolf of Wall Street. I'm going to put Anchorman in third, Secret Life of Walter Mitty in fourth, and 47 Ronin in fifth. And for my arts house pick, I'm going to go with The Invisible Woman, basically because of Ralph Fiennes. So we'll see how that goes for me.
Okay. All I got to say is interesting. I was preparing for an art ditto, but since I'm going last, but it's not going to happen. No, it's not going to happen that way because I don't have Walter Mitty in my top five.
Really?
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. So at number one, I'm also keeping The Hobbit 2 at number one. I'm going to put The Wolf of Wall Street at number two. I just don't know if it has enough buzz for it to get to number one.
I'm going strictly on DiCaprio and Scorsese. I'm using that as my push.
It's on 2,500 screens, which isn't necessarily a big wide release. So I don't know. Maybe, you know, people might wait a while to see what the word of mouth is kind of thing. I don't know.
But it's already open, so.
True.
Boop, boop, boop.
True. I'm going to stick with the only kid movie in my top five. I'm going to stay with Frozen at number three. I'm gonna put Anchorman 2 at number four. And I'm going to go with the whole Oscar thing and put American Hustle at number five.
What are you doing?
So, I don't know. I'll probably be wrong, but comedies don't do that great.
Go that way.
Especially when they're not, you know, you have great reviews. And for my art house pick, I'm going with the big name of Mark Wahlberg and going with Lone Survivor.
Lone Survivor?
Mm-hmm. It's on two screens. Basically, it's a, you know, military movie, army movie. So we'll see how that works out. I'm kind of got burned about the, you know, the... multiple screens with Doom 3. So I'm going with the one that's on either one screen or two screens. And that's Lone Survivor. And I'm done.
Okay. Easy.
Well, it's going to be interesting. One of us is coming out on top, I think.
Tonight! Which,
at least in the arts house.
It's me. It's going to be me.
Okay. I hope
I'm claiming it now.
Now, I was thinking...
Really? Come on, move your
that we should have a tiebreaker for the arts house. But considering it's named after art, art will have final say on who wins arts house.
Assuming, well, that's if there's a tie.
No, I'm just saying. If there is a tie, because you know, I don't think that there has been someone standing alone in the standings for like for at least a month.
No, well, no. The three of us all pick differently. We just have to wait and see what BD does.
Exactly. So it's up to art.
Yeah. Oh my God, I've got a cat all over everything. You're killing me, kitty cat. You're killing me. Like, I can't even get to the mouse because it's under her lady cat junk.
Well, thanks for sharing.
If you want, I could send you a picture. She's lying on top of it. Damn it. You know, after the Christmas massacre, she was horrible on Christmas. My arm looks... I look like a junkie. I don't know what her deal was. Anywho, news, people?
News. All right, I will lead off with something a little funny, because this is... Okay, are you guys familiar with who Shazam is?
Yeah.
Shazam! From the 70s? I remember the show from the 70s.
Me too.
Okay, well, the character has been around a little longer than that, but... The blurb that really caught my eye, because they're talking about how the title of the article is How Man of Steel Stopped the Shazam Movie. And just that, you know, they kind of occupy the same space as, you know, just very, you know, omnipotent type of superheroes. They fly, they're super strong and vulnerable, all that stuff. And they say, you know, so they kind of fill the same space. They feel like they, you know, so Shazam's always been pushed to the side. But then I read the first, the line that they showed just under that. And now listen to this and tell me if this sounds a little strange. In the comics, Captain Marvel was born as Billy Batson, a 12-year-old homeless newsboy. One day, he is led into a subway tunnel and taken into the lair of a great wizard named Shazam, who bestows upon Billy a great gift. By shouting the wizard's name, Billy becomes Captain Marvel. Does that sound a little pedophile-ish? I don't know. Is that just me?
Yeah.
Is that just me, or did that kind of come across that way? Hey, kid, come here. I give you something. Yeah, shout my name.
Up until
shout
the wizard part, I thought it was a Lifetime movie.
Shout my name, and I'll give you a gift, you know, a great gift. No, I don't know. I think that's the bigger problem is the origin. A 12-year-old boy playing around with a wizard.
Yeah, they might need that origin a little bit.
I think they might have to massage that a little bit. But
you had to use that word.
That's what they call it when they massage the story. Change it around a little bit. Come on, it's the lingo. Get hip.
Mm-hmm. Creepy.
So anyway, I think they occupy too much of the same space. But
yeah.
I thought it was interesting. But yeah, I remember that. I very, very vaguely remember the live action TV show from the 70s.
Yeah, because I was based on the TV
totally,
show.
I totally remember the TV show.
I thought it was like an Egyptian, you know, background that where he got his power from.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? I just remember seeing the. I think that's when I saw the Ankh for the first time. Because wasn't there like one of ISIS? Wasn't she a character too?
Oh, mighty Isis. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the cheesy 70s stuff.
Okay. Well, good.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all. I mean, I like I said, very vaguely remember the Shazam show. That was...
But you know what I do remember, even though I was but a child at the time? Because it was, and I can't remember, his name was Billy something, the guy who... Oh, that was his character's name. I can't remember the actor, though. But I just remember, even, because in the 70s, I would have been like 9, 10, 11, something like that, depending on what year it was. I remember thinking it was kind of odd that this young guy who was maybe 18, 19 years old was just traveling around in an RV with creepy old grandpa. even at 9 years old, I found that kind of weird.
Yeah, that's the problem. A little bit of pedo. What do you got, Jeff?
All right, so I have a news article about Days of Future Past. And we news that there is a character that is not going to be in the movie. He or she's been cut out. Well, she, since it's in the article. Apparently, there was an early scene in the movie that had Magneto, Professor X, Iceman, and Rogue in it. And it looks like that they have cut the scene, or cut it down, so Rogue is not going to be in the movie at all. So fans of the character of Rogue, or of Anna Paquin, you will not be seeing her in Days of Future Past. And it remains to be seen if she will be even in the Blu-ray/DVD release as a deleted scene. So, there, now you can go on with your life.
I don't know if I want to.
No? Okay.
I don't know if I can.
Lena, do you have anything newsy, since we're talking about Shazam?
The only thing I saw, and it's not really newsy, and it's about 2 seconds, is, and I don't know if we ever, but just that Vin Diesel is now confirmed as Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I feel like that's been pretty locked up for a while now, but yeah.
Yeah, because that was the only thing, just that it's now...
It's official, official.
Blah, blah, blah. It's officially official.
Right.
I'm going to be very interested in how Guardians of the Galaxy does box office-wise.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's probably, you know, at this point in time, it's probably going to be the most fringe story of the Marvel Universe compared to all the other ones.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, the group of guys I hang out with, and, you know, we saw the movie, and only two of us knew who the Collector was, you know, with the whole little stinger at the end of the last movie, Thor movie, and the rest are like, who is that? What's going on? No clue. Blah, blah, blah. I think a lot of people just don't know Guardians of the Galaxy. Don't care. It seems very, like they're really playing to a very small market.
Yes. Yeah, and that was the end of that news story. Do you, anything, or, I'm sorry, I guess we're back to me, because I think Art brought that one. Okay.
Yes.
Here is a not so much movie news story. We have a new world's hottest pepper. And how do they figure out how hot a pepper is? They measure it in Scoville heat units.
Mm-hmm.
So this pepper registered 2.2 million Scoville heat units.
That sounds bad.
The previous
Is it the pepper I'm thinking about?
The previous world's hottest chili pepper was the Trinidad Moruga Scorpion. But now we have a new one that was created by Ed Curry of Pucker Butt Pepper Company in South Carolina.
Ouch.
It is now the Carolina Reaper.
Okay.
So did they give us any point of reference on this?
What is
a jalapeno? No. What is a, you know, habanero? What is...
Okay, all right. So here's two... more everyday examples. Bird's Eye Chilies can hit about 100,000 Scoville units. You probably never heard of Bird's Eye Chilies?
Right.
All right, let's talk about jalapeno, which is the bane of my existence. That comes in at 8,000 units.
8,000 units. Nice.
8,000 units. So the scale of hotness is, it's pretty up there. And the Associated Press says pepper spray comes in about 2 million Scoville units. So if you are being attacked, just throw one of these bad boys at your assailant. You should be okay.
did you mention habanero?
Did not mention habanero.
Okay, just in comparison with pepper spray, the habanero is 200,000. Pepper spray, 2 million.
Right. Okay.
Although I don't see the ghost chili listed here. Although I'm looking at a vague one here. I need to
And then the last one, Curry sells Carolina Reaper seeds and hot sauces dubbed I Dare You Stupid and Purgatory Sauce on his Pucker Butt Pepper website. But yeah, obviously yeah. Don't go to that at work.
No, I got a buddy, Mike, and he was eating something hot. And he is sniffling, his eyes are watering, his nose is all red, his face looks like he is in pain. And I look at him and I say, did you overdo it a little bit? And he sniffles, no, man, I like it. It's his response to me. And I'm like, okay, that doesn't seem like fun. Who are you being a man for? Because I don't get it.
What do they use for buffalo sauce? What kind of?
I think that's.
What's?
Cayenne?
Oh, no, I'm going to look that up.
Or red pepper?
Pepper. I'm slowly trying to get myself used to eat it because I'm like massively wimpy when it comes to spicy things. Well, if it's Frank's Red Hot, which I think is what's traditional, yeah. That's cayenne.
Yeah. Right. Allrecipes.com lists hot pepper sauce, cayenne pepper, and garlic powder.
Yep.
Okay, so cayenne is 30,000 to 50,000. Although, I've had habanero, but not straight. Like, I've had sweet habanero sauce, mm-hmm. which is, but, you know, then it makes my lips all hurty. Yeah. And then I can't feel my lips. But it does taste so damn good.
Do you have Buffalo Wild Wings down there?
Yes, but I've never had them. There's actually this, like, rinky-dink little, near where my friend lives, this rinky-dink, trashy little gas station. Right. Oh, my God, in heaven, they make the best chicken tenders you've ever had in your life. The chicken is so tender. They bread them and fry them up right there. But when we go and get them, you get them, like, by the half pound, by the pound. We get a pound and a half. I have, like, three, and he eats the rest. He drowns them in his buffalo sauce.
Right.
Oh, God. And then he makes me eat it. I'm like, can't you just pull one from the bottom? Then, nope. Really? Because you don't. No. I hate you.
Well, the nice thing about Buffalo Wild Wings is they scale them very nicely. They have a little chart. And on one end is the mild stuff, and on the other end is the hot stuff. So you just slowly work your way up the chart, you know. You work, yeah. So I like the way they do it.
Okay.
All right. That's it for news for me.
I've got two more things. One's very little. One's a little bigger. Fast and the Furious 7 update confirms Paul Walker will star in the movie. So they are going to use the footage they have, probably do a little computer animation, use some probably Left on the Floor footage from before, and work the story around what they have left. So he will still star in the movie, and I guess they'll keep all the footage they have available and put it to their best use, but that is the word.
Okay.
And the last little thing I have is Time Magazine did an article on what they thought were the 10 best movies of last year. Of this year. It's almost last year at this point. So at number 10, they had The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. At number 9, they had 12 Years a Slave. At number 8, they had The Act of Killing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At number 7, they had Frozen. At number 6, Furious 6. I think that's Fast and the Furious 6, but it wasn't just Furious 6, was it? That's
no.
Weird that they list it like that.
Mm.
At number 5, The Grandmaster. At number 4, Her.
Really?
Yep. At number 3, American Hustle. Number 2, The Great Beauty. And at number 1, They Put Gravity.
Excuse me.
What was number 2 again?
Number 2 was The Great Beauty.
Foreign film.
Yes.
Interesting.
They also put a list of their 4 worst movies. Number 4, After Earth. Number 3, The Host. Number 2, Salinger. And number 1, Grown Ups 2.
No quibble with that.
No. And they also listed their 4 favorite performances of the year. Number 4, Matthew McConaughey as Jared Leto in Dallas Buyers Club.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Dame Judi Dench in Philomena. Number two, Amy Adams in American Hustle. And number one, Robert Redford in All Is Lost.
That's surprising about Amy Adams, because I was reading the story about that they did a Hollywood press screening for American Hustle, and when Jennifer Lawrence's name came up in the credits, most of the people like stood up for a standing ovation.
Yeah, I heard she was really great in that.
Yeah, so yeah, interesting.
And you know, Amy Adams, I never cared a whole lot for her until The Fighter.
I never saw it.
Fantastic. God, they all were so good. Christian Bale was fantastic. Melissa Leo, my gosh. And that was kind of the first time I saw her with some real chops.
They asked Amy Adams if she's ever in a bad movie, what's she gonna do? And she said, "I'll just say it was Isla Fisher."
Yeah.
Because they look good. I guess they look very similar.
Oh my god, they look like twins. It's kind of funny. I got nothing.
That's it. That's all I got.
All right.
So, race to the finish.
Should we talk about movies that we saw?
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I sat on it, Art. I sat on it.
You did. You got me. All right.
Yeah, so we're all horrible people.
And we will all get the outline.
Yeah, it's never getting past the spam filter. So Lana, see any movies in the movie?
Not a one. No. Oh, did I? No.
That's probably why I didn't bring it up. How about you, Art?
No. I did see movies, but just as far as the spam filter goes, and then I'll just mail you a physical copy, because where you live, too.
All right, yeah. Just wait. Yeah. Yeah, and he'll probably be the one to deliver it, too.
So yes, I did see a movie. We have a Christmas tradition in our house, where Aubrey gets a pre-Christmas gift on Christmas Eve. So she gets a pair of pajamas to go to sleep in Christmas Eve, and she gets a book to be read and a movie to be watched. And so we buy something new Christmassy to watch every year. And this year, it was Arthur Christmas. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It is a modern-day telling of the Santa Claus story. And it just kind of goes into explaining the myth, the reality of the myth, what's going on up at the North Pole. And the Santa Claus position is a hereditary position handed down from father to son, blah-de-blah-de-blah. But it was very entertaining. I would recommend it, and we all enjoyed it.
I took the kids to see that last year, because I think that was in the theater last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was not in love with it, but the end was really redeemed the story for me.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I was in a Christmassy mood.
Yeah, we're sitting there, you know, the house is all decorated, Christmas trees up, the what do they call them? The Christmas Village is all on the shelves. So I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. But you know what? It could be that it was Arthur Christmas. I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it. I'm a little jaded, a little biased. I don't know.
Really, because you really think about it, it is a movie about you.
Yeah, totally. Totally okay. About me. Right. Oh, yeah.
All right. Any other movies?
No, that was it for me. I rewatched Megamind. Because that was on TV and we recorded it and watched it. It was still fair and middling. About I saw it in the theater originally, and I enjoyed it. It was good to have on, but I won't go out of my way. I won't ever buy it.
Okay, well, if Art's done, I went to the theater twice in the last week.
Oh my goodness!
Saturday morning, I took my daughter to see Catching Fire. We both enjoyed it. She probably enjoyed it a little more than I did because she read the book and she knew what was going to happen. And I kept waiting for the same things that happened in the first movie happened in the second movie. And I would have to say, in retrospect, I enjoyed it because when it ended, I didn't realize that it was already 2.5 hours.
That's good.
if you thought it was a dark story in the first movie, be prepared that it gets more dark. And I also learned that there's a lot of old ladies that go to see Catching Fire. Because I felt like the spirit of the Golden Girls, alive or dead, was sitting right behind us. They talked during every second before the movie, and they talked a little during the movie, especially when there was a twist or something, or if there was a young man that had a shirt off. I heard one gasp or three behind me.
Oh my God.
So yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. But you know, I'm starting to notice that the YA books that are being made in the movies have switched from supernatural, like Twilight, over to dystopia, because we saw a trailer for the next YA franchise that's going to be made, Divergent.
Haven't heard about it.
There's a full trailer that's out. So, you know, check out the trailer. It's got Shailene Woodley from The Descendants. She plays the main character. But it's another, you know, it's another future and, you know, the world's messed up kind of story. So, the other movie that I saw was, I have a tradition with my friend that we go see a movie on his birthday. And last year we went to see The Hobbit. And this year we went to see The Hobbit. We didn't make it for the IMAX. But there's a 4-hour window, or there's 4 hours between showings, and we either are going to go at 7, which is a little close to getting off work, and we didn't want to stay up till 10:45. So we're not dedicated Hobbit fans.
Right.
So we found a theater that had the high frame rate 3D theater that was by Disneyland. And it's one of those, you know, newer class theaters where, you know, they have a bar, they have they have 21 and over theaters. They have this thing called D-Box where the seat moves based on what, you know, based on the action of the movie.
And the
seat vibrates a little bit. They had a test unit and we sat through the trailer of The Hobbit and we said, no, that ain't worth $8. But we, you know, we're old men, so it's hard for you guys to sell us on something like that. So, yes, we enjoyed The Hobbit. I would probably say they could really tighten up the story. And it was like right at the line between, you know, things that they're supposed to show you and indulgence. Art, have you seen the second Hobbit yet?
I have not. We made arrangements. We were gonna go. I have another buddy, and he has a 3-year-old son, and we were trying to make arrangements to go. And he's like, you know, my wife really wants to go with, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, well, let's. Brittany has no interest in seeing The Hobbit. Let's see if we can get her to sit. And so Brittany at first was like, yeah, okay. And then, you know, so I'm talking about Mose. He's in my gaming group. And his wife, Tay, and their son, Noah. Let's put some names out there so I can stop saying he, she, hit, blah, 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 trying to tell this story.
Right.
So Tay is very particular about Noah. She has good reason to be. He's got some little issues here and there. He has some very serious food allergies, different things, you know. But Noah's been over here quite a few times because Noah's a good friend of mine. I mean, when Aubrey had her birthday and he can't eat eggs, Brittany looked up recipes to make egg-free cupcakes so that he could have cake while all the other kids had cake. You know, so she understands. And so, you know, I said, well, I told Moses to talk to Tay, see if, you know, it's okay for Brittany to watch Noah, you know, and Tay was like, okay. She's like, she agreed. But then Brittany got a little, you know, she's like, got a little concerned about watching the two kids by herself. And so she asked me to stay. So I was like, I will stay. I said, so then that left other Tony going with just Moses and Tay to the movies. So I'm like, well, Tony, we'll go catch The Hobbit another time. Why don't you just come over, hang out with us? We'll send them out on a date, and, you know, we'll stay here with the kid. So I was going to go, and then it just kind of went a little wonky. So Moses and Tay got to go out and have a date night, and me and Tony will continue our bromance sometime in the next week. So I didn't get a chance to see it. I still desperately want to see it. I'm gonna see it this weekend to help it, you know, keep that number one position. That it was all part of my plan.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Priorities.
So,
okay.
That's what's going on there.
Yeah. I think I like the first Hobbit a little bit better. And because of our friends over at Backseat Producers, I kept trying to figure out what was good CG and bad CG. But right. I don't have a good eye for that. So I really don't want to say anymore, you know, because all the whole spoiler thing, and I know it's a book that's been out for ages. I hear there's a lot that, you know, they should call it Peter Jackson's The Hobbit.
Right.
Because, you know, Evangeline Lilly's character is completely new. So yeah, let's talk after you see it.
Okay.
And those are the two movies those are the two movies I saw in the theater last week. Oh, and we watched Christmas Vacation. I watched it for the first time. I enjoyed it. It's silly.
Yeah.
Normally we watch Elf, but we didn't get to watching Elf this year.
We watched Elf. Brittany loves Elf.
I did semi-nap through the Jim Carrey version of The Grinch. Semi-napped. I heard it a lot. I could hear it.
Well, that's the best way to watch a movie.
In and out of consciousness, I heard it. I was so sleepy. It was Christmas Eve. I was sleepy.
Too much eggnog?
No, it was just a long day. Because I worked, and work was insane. And just a long night of trying to get stuff done. And then yesterday, I seriously, literally didn't get out of bed other than to, like, occasionally eat, and that was about it. I had a Gator Boys marathon on Animal Planet, and I just slept on and off all day yesterday.
I wish. I don't know that I can ever do that again.
Well, I mean, I would have liked to have had something to do and somewhere to go, but I simply didn't, so...
Yeah, I can see on Christmas Day, but just generally speaking, that won't happen for the foreseeable future. There is always something to be done, or there is a toddler jumping on you. One of those two situations prevents that from happening.
Well, when the toddler is not home, you ignore what needs to be done and you go to sleep.
Yeah, that's not responsible. I have a toddler.
but she won't be home.
You can't sleep when the kids are not there.
Yeah, you can't. No,
because you're wasting that time.
That's right. There are so many other things I need to do when there is not a kid around.
you don't get to sleep when she's there.
And the thing about toddlers jumping on you, my 10-year-old still does it to me.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I don't see a time
before,
in the foreseeable
future.
Before
the boy, you were 5 inches taller.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
He still jumps on you. That's cute.
Oh, yeah, he, that's why I don't let him watch wrestling, or he would seriously hurt me.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Art, can we end the show now?
We can, wait, okay. Is that the next part? are we missing something? Should we just move into next week's show?
Well, I was going to say, Elena can add it and post anyways.
Yeah, there you go. What's coming out next week? No.
Yeah, Elena, we want you to do your picks for next week right now.
Okay.
All right,
yeah. I'll do them right now. Yeah. Right now, I tell you.
Paranormal Activity number one. And we have moved down one space. Done.
I don't know if I want to put that at number one. Well, actually, no. It did fairly well, didn't it?
It's on the decline, I think. Mm. I think that franchise is on the decline.
I don't think I would put that at number one, though.
It's not really paranormal. It's now normal.
Mm. Yeah. All right, then. I guess we're going to say goodnighty to everybody.
So, yeah. The last podcast of
2013. Woot!
Yeah. See you guys on the other side.
Man, 2014 better be a goddamn better year than 2013. Or I have to do some serious ass-kicking. Now, there were some highlights of my year. I will say that. There were some highlights. There were some good things that I will take with me. But a lot of the year are just blue chunks.
Well, you do have a job, Lena, so there's that.
Well, yeah, I can. That's one of the highlights.
Yeah.
I just had to make sure.
I joined the show.
Yes, I think that's a highlight for all of us.
And Art got to meet me in person.
You met me at Archon, yeah.
You met me at Archon.
Break it up to you two. I'm not ready to be divorce counselor again.
We shared a hotel room.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
And Art snores. Just gotta
like
just gotta
a chainsaw. I snore.
Oh my God! Do you ever? So much so that I thought you were the one sleeping next to me. That's how loud you were snoring. I thought you were the one closer to me.
I snore so loud that at 10 feet away, she thought I was 3 feet away from her.
Because I had two men in my room, because I'm not going to say that's how I rolled.
Well, who's bragging now?
Because that's how I roll. Just gonna let that one hang there.
See, the good thing about ours is you have sound cover, so you're not gonna hear anything else.
That's right. Yeah. Y'all couldn't have been doing anything in there. Nobody would have heard. All you would have heard was a snoring.
Exactly.
Kidding. See the walls shaking. I didn't even get to do anything to make them shake.
I was gonna say the high frequency of the bed springs might cut through a little bit.
I still love the fact that I was all the way on the edge of the left side of the bed. The other Tony was all the way on the left, right side of the bed. You could have parked a car between us on that bed and we wouldn't have known. It's just so, so insanely far away from each other.
Yeah, so I thought you guys would snuggle up a little bit.
You know, I would have been okay with that. I enjoy a little snuggle. I'm a warm body. I'm good to snuggle with, and it was October. All right. Now we say goodnight.
Not for that.
Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. And let's see, when will we be back? We'll be back. It'll be after. So Happy New Year's, because it'll be after New Year when we're back, right?
Yes.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and thank you for listening.
Yeah, that too. And we love you all. Indeed we do. Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.
Good night. Oh.